Leonard Moore, would you ask the Lord's blessing on our service and on our day together?
Our most gracious God in heaven, we bow our heads to thee this morning and thank you for bringing us all together at this time. We pray that thou would bless us this day and might each one of us be a blessing one to another. We pray that thou would guide and direct and keep us each one according to thy will. Be with those of like precious faith, Father, wherever they are this day, especially those that are going through trials and difficulties at this time. And now we leave everything to thy care and keeping. We pray that thou would just watch over us, forgive us our many shortcomings, help us to live closer to thee. In Jesus' dear and precious name we ask it all. Amen.
Well, it's nice to see so many of you this morning, and it's especially nice to see Brother David with us this morning. We're all eager to hear Brother Bill discourse to us on the subject of consecration, baptism, and we now turn the meeting over to Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Wally. I apologize for the confusion and the delays. This is a new facility to us, and we're kind of feeling our way around and don't know where things are at, so bear with us, but we'll try to stumble through the day. Today we celebrate a consecration. And in order to deal with this topic of consecration, we would like to imagine what it would be like if positions for the new creation were recruited by setting out a help wanted sign. I'd like you to imagine that you're driving in your car. You're going by a row of offices, and in one of the offices you notice is quite vacant, but there's one person in there. And just before you drive by, he runs out and puts a sign in the window. And in big, bold letters, this sign reads, "The ultimate position, inquire within." Such a sign triggers your curiosity to the point that you can't resist stopping your car, turning around, and going back and parking in front of this office. And as you get out to go in, you notice that the sign is not there anymore. It's been removed. But you go in anyway. And you ask the person who sits inside, "Did you just put out a sign, something about the ultimate position?" "Yes, I did. And I was hoping you would see that sign. I'm glad you decided to come in." "Well, just what is this ultimate position?" "Well, in this position, you will be helping my boss and my boss's son in the grandest rehabilitation program ever undertaken. You will be assisting billions of mankind to attain a perfectly healthy, joyous, everlasting life on a perfect earth." "Wow, that's quite an undertaking." "Yes, indeed it is. But those in this position will be working from an office that will have ultimate power at their disposal." "Well, if it's such a great position, why don't I see a line going around the block? Why did you remove the sign?" "I did so because my boss is very selective. He indicated to me that he saw something special in you. And so I put out the sign just for you." "Gee, that's quite an honor." "Yes, it is quite an honor, especially since this program is just about to go into service. You know, we've been recruiting for this program for almost 2,000 years now. And all the positions have been filled. It's very rare to find anyone drop out of this program. It's very rare to have one of these positions open up. Well, what would I have to do to apply for this position? Now, the requirements for this position are quite stiff. You probably want to give it some very serious thought. You first must be willing to complete a rigorous training program. You can't quit once you start. Once you enter this program, there's no backing out. Well, just how rigorous is this training program? The cost is everything you have. It will cost you everything, everything you possess. It will even cost you your very life. And it will take the rest of your lifetime to complete this program. Well, this program seems awfully tough to me. I think it's maybe a little bit too tough. It is tough, but keep this in mind. If you do your very best in this training program, my boss's son, who, by the way, instituted this program, he was the first one to go through it and pass its requirements. My boss's son will absolutely guarantee your success. Even though you make some unintentional flubs, he'll know the sincerity of your desires. He has a lot of insight. And he won't count these mistakes against you. You know, this is all really amazing. But still, there are some things in my life that are very precious to me. My family is very, very important to me. I can't give up my family. And I need a job to support my family. I can't give up my job. Well, my boss knows how you feel. You know, my boss is a father himself. He is very family-oriented. As a matter of fact, he gets quite upset with those who do not take care of their families. No, quite the contrary. I think you will find that your family will play a very large role in your training program. They will be of a very special assistance to you, and they may not even realize to what extent. Also, a side benefit of this training program is that will make you a better person for your family. This all sounds too good to be true. How can I know that this program is for real? Do you believe in the Bible? Yes, I have no doubt that there is a God. And I have a strong feeling that He has provided the Bible for us to understand His ways. That's good. I can see what my boss sees in you. I would like to point out some scriptures to support what I've been telling you. As you have probably guessed, my boss is the Heavenly Father, Jehovah, and His Son is our Lord Jesus. Remember I said that the Son has instituted this training program? Well, that was prophesied in the Old Testament, even before it happened. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his Lord. His seed, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. From this prophecy, we get a glimpse of just how rigorous was our Lord's training program. He bruised him. He hath put him to grief. But all this was for a purpose. Consider Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Thus this training program prepared our Lord for this future work of blessing mankind. One way of looking at it is that he was preparing for a priesthood. Not just any priesthood, but he became the high priest of the highest order. Hebrews 5:10. Also, listen to Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So indeed, our Lord's suffering prepared him for a very key role in the Father's program. But as well in this text, we get a hint that there is an under-priesthood. There are to be associates with our Lord. An under-priesthood that would go through a similar training. Another text that brings us out is Colossians 1:24. Now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. What this means is that by the mercy of Jehovah, the priesthood which Jesus is the head was not limited to him alone. The Father, through his mercy, has provided for body members, for associates to Christ. Called his body members, his bride, his little flock, to assist our Lord in the work of the kingdom. In other words, there is a work, an opportunity, which remains behind of the mission that our Lord accomplished at his first advent. And this is available to just a select few to be chosen by the Heavenly Father himself. Remember when I told you that the requirements to get into this training program were very stiff? That you have to give up everything. I'd like to point out two texts along this line, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A wise man once wrote about what it means to give one's heart. He said, the will represents the entire person and all that he possesses. The will has control of the body, hands, feet, eyes, and mouth, and brain. It has control, too, of the pocket, the bank account, the real estate. It controls our time, our talent, our influences. There is not one thing of value that we possess that does not properly come under the control of the will. And hence, when we surrender our wills to the Lord, or as the scriptures sometimes present it, our hearts, we give him our all, and this burial of our human will into the will of Christ is our death as human beings. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. you might ask, what does it mean to present my body a living sacrifice? How can it possibly be acceptable to the Heavenly Father? We call it consecration, when one willingly agrees to commit, to give his all, to enter into this training program. This same wise man said in another place, we give up our life rights at consecration. That is the principal thing that you give. You give what you have, and what you have is very little. But God has provided Christ for every member of the race. Earthly life rights through Jesus. And these belong to you in a reckoned sense from the time you believe in Jesus and understand that God has a restitution plan for mankind. You might ask yourself, you might say to yourself, and I might say to myself, oh, I have a little life now, very little indeed. But God's provision through the Redeemer is that I shall have a future life. This will be imputed to me now through God's mercy, that I may give up all that I have. I give up what I have a right to now, and all these rights of mine that would belong to me if I had maintained my human nature and claimed my rights as a human being under the general merit of Christ's sacrifice. So we give up all our life rights when, the moment we consecrate, we present our life and that which is to come. Our Lord did this at Jordan when he spoke the words, lo, I come to do thy will. Everything written in the book. Our Lord held nothing back, and everything was given up. Remember, I also told you that you would have to complete a rigorous training program? Well, it is true. You will be following the footsteps of Jesus. As he was developed by his sufferings, so you can expect difficult experiences to develop and strengthen you. 1 Peter 2:20. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 2 Corinthians 1:7. Knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. And Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I don't know if you noticed, but the text from Proverbs where it says, my son, give me thine heart, and this last text from Romans, where it says, and if children, both these texts contain a very marvelous and precious promise lest you be overwhelmed with the texts that refer to suffering. Both these texts show that when one enters this training program, one also enters the family of God, and one thus becomes a son to the most wise and understanding Father in the universe. Hebrews 12:7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as his sons, for what son is he who the Father chasteneth not? And Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And remember when I told you that the Son will guarantee your successful completion of this training program? It is absolutely true, and there are many texts that confirm this. I'd like to point out three avenues. One, he will make up for any shortcomings that are unintentional, that we can't help through our natural weakness. Two, no external source or influence can separate us from the love of Christ. And three, no experience that is given unto us will be too great for us to handle. For the first point, I'd like to read John 2:1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the satisfaction or propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. For the second point, I'd like to read from Romans 8, starting at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 38 answers, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Along with these assurances, you are given something else. When God accepts your sacrifice of your human life rights, he begets you to a new nature, a spiritual nature. Along with this, you come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This influence of the Holy Spirit is along the lines of understanding, courage, zeal, and strength. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has reserved, has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, in fleshly tables of the heart. But remember also, I qualified that guarantee that it was up to you to obey, to do your part to the very best of your ability. You may be wondering just what is your part. A clue is in the second verse of Romans 12. It reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." What's being accomplished during this training program is a transforming that happens for the most part in your mind and heart. So you must discipline your mind along spiritual lines to guard against the subtle influences of the flesh and the world. Romans 8:13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." 2 Corinthians 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Ephesians 6:18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Hebrews 10:22 and 23. "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." I told you as well that those who successfully complete this training program will attain the highest office and will have ultimate power at their disposal. 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be a partaker of the divine nature." The divine nature is the highest spiritual nature. Jehovah resides there, and now our Lord Jesus resides there as well. Revelations 3:21, "To him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." If successful, we will share the throne with our Lord, who shares the throne with his Father. I also mentioned that God is very selective when filling positions for this program. He is the one that screens the potential applicants. John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." James 2:5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" And Hebrews 5:4. "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God." Dear brethren, God has not elected to set out signs advertising the ultimate position. But he does call by one means or another, one here, one there, into the little flock. Indeed, it is a great joy, yes, a thrill, to see one answer God's call. For what we are witnessing is the election process of Jehovah. That is the choice of Jehovah. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And Romans 9:11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That excitement we feel is enhanced when we realize that this election process, this choice of Jehovah, has been in progress all during the plan of ages. We see it in the Old Testament. Faithful Abraham was promised in Genesis 22:18 that in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. Abraham had many children by many wives, by three wives. But alas, God narrowed his choice to only one son, Isaac, to fulfill that promise. And so too with Isaac. Even before they were born, God chose one of his two sons to extend this promise to. Genesis 25:23. And of Jacob's 12 sons, only one, the tribe of Levi, was chosen to typify the household of faith. And of that tribe, only the priests and underpriests pictured the sacrificing church in the holy condition. So we can see how through the ages God has narrowed his position, has narrowed his choice. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so, dear brethren, at this end of the age, we know the choice is even more restricted. Thus, when we see one who is close to our hearts consecrate their life, we naturally want to welcome and encourage them. But also it should cause each of us to revitalize our own relationship with the Lord and the Heavenly Father by renewing in our own hearts our own consecration. Now we'd like to direct our attention to baptism. We are about to witness an immersion service, a water baptism. I think we all realize that this immersion today will wash away no sin. What we will see today is merely a symbol, a picture. What we are doing as we're gathered here is bearing witness by this symbol that a real baptism has already taken place and is continuing to take place. Just as our Lord indicated his baptism was a continuing baptism. Luke 12:50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? But just what is this real baptism? This real baptism is a baptism into death with the Lord. It is an overwhelming. The word, the Greek word baptizo, means submersion. It is a submersion of our wills, a burial of ourselves, our flesh, our human life rites. In a sense, then, this is a funeral service. But there is a new life, a life as prospective members of Christ's body. And this all took place at the moment when we made the full surrender of our wills to him, consecrating our all to follow him even unto death. Romans 6:3-5. Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In conclusion, brethren, at Jordan, our Lord opened a new and living way for us. He set the pattern, and we have today one who recently decided to follow in this pattern. And today, he wishes to symbolize his decision by water immersion. I'm going to ask Brother Dave to stand up. And if there are any others who wish to symbolize their baptism, I would ask that they would step forward as well. I'm going to ask Brother Dave a couple questions. Brother Dave, have you repented of sin with such restitution as you are able of any wrongs? And are you trusting in the merit of Jesus' ransom sacrifice, both for the forgiveness of your sins and as a basis of your justification?
Yes, I am.
Have you made a full, unreserved consecration of yourself with all the powers that you possess, talents, money, time, influence, all to God, to be used faithfully in his service, even unto death? On the basis of your affirmative answer, Brother Dave, to these questions, we acknowledge you as a member of the household of faith, and as such, extend the right hand of fellowship. In the name of our Redeemer, our glorified and present Lord. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. At this time, Brother Ron, Brother Dave, and Brother Jerry can journey down to the immersion area. And I'll ask Brother Wally to come forward, and perhaps we can sing a couple hymns. Just a few notes for the mechanics. The swimming pool is located on the basement level. There are a set of stairways that you can go down, and there are also elevators for those who don't want to tackle the stairs. The YWCA has asked us that we not wear our street shoes in the pool area. So before you go into the pool room, we'd ask that you take off your shoes just outside and then just walk in your stocking feet. And don't forget where your shoes are so you can find them when you come out.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for those thoughts. Indeed, what an ultimate position has been offered to us. And it's a joy to be able to share the day together with Brother David as he symbolizes the acceptance of this position in his life. Brother Bill has already mentioned the immersion at the pool. As we journey down, let us bring our hymn books with us also so that we might sing at the poolside. And after the immersion, you're all welcome for lunch. And while we're waiting for the lunch to be prepared, there's cards at the back table to be signed. Let's close this service by the singing of hymn number 134. Sister Sharon? Oh, cards are at the front table, excuse me. Number 134 in closing. Thank you.
dear, most gracious, all-merciful Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee at this time, indeed marveling at Thy providences throughout the ages in choosing a little flock of associates to be with Thy Lord, in bringing blessing and everlasting life to mankind. Dear Lord, we pray for this one who is about to symbolize his consecration, that he may receive the rich benefits of Thy Holy Spirit in this narrow way, that he may be led and guided and strengthened of Thee. Dear Lord, we pray for all Thy new creation the world over. Bless each individual child of Thine according to their own needs as Thou knowest best, as they strive in this narrow way. Dear Lord, we pray for the accomplishment of Thy purpose, that the blessing may pass on to the groaning creation. Forgive anything said or done amiss. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, Brother Bill knows the way to the pool, the immersion service site, so let's follow him on down.
Symbol into Christ. Yeah.